Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Friday, October 7th, 2022. I was trying to get you to chuckle a little bit there. I guess now I know how.
Well, I guess it is Friday because you're slowing down. But
we're supposed to be gearing up for the weekend, but now, you know, after, well, you know, it's...
Well, when you hit 39 and older like you have, you know, these things slow down the weekend, so...
Yeah, well, I guess that's what I keep... That's what I've been told, so...
Oh, well, but anyway, it is Friday, and it's been a beautiful day here in the hills, so I'm a happy individual. Hope you had a good week and a good day.
Absolutely. It's beautiful here, finally. We're out of the rain for over a week and had sunshine, and it's going to be cooling off. Today's the warmest day of the group, but still, it's very, very beautiful. So, gold today. Let's go ahead and see what gold did today. It doesn't get a gold star today. No gold star for gold. $1,696, down $17, just a little over 1%. Silver was down 2.75% at $20.16. Platinum was down $7 at $923. Palladium was down $76, $2,270. And, of course, we have a stronger dollar, 0.57, at 112.81. And I'll tell you what, crude oil popped, and it popped big, $4, 92.48, But we all know why. And
here we go again.
You have the stock market today was down 630 points at 29,296. S&P was down 104, 3,639. NASDAQ was down almost 4%, 3.80, 10,652. And... Asian markets were all negative across the board. Europe was negative all across the board. Bonds, 10-year yield 3.89%. So again, it's marching up to that 4%. And again, as I mentioned, you had WTI up $4. Brent was up 3.41, and natural gas was still lower. It was lower by 4%. So I would expect to see that have a turnaround here anytime soon. So the NASDAQ closes again, basically 3% lower. And it's all due to the September jobs report. And so they're blaming that. They're blaming the jobs report. So it showed a non-farm payrolls increased 263,000 for the month. That was a little bit short of what everyone was anticipating, but the unemployment rate dropped 3.5%, and the average hourly earnings rose 5% from a year ago. And what's the inflation, Butch? Is it more than 5%?
I think they say it's 8 to 10. I think it's closer to 15 to 17, but yes, definitely more than 5%.
Yeah. Well, I guess that 5% will help, but it isn't going to cover you. And for those that saw their hourly earnings raise 5%, leisure and hospitality, healthcare, and business and professional services did lead the sector of gainers. So, you know, it's pretty much the markets fell because of the job growth. It fell short of expectations. It wasn't anything biggie to make any big drops in the paper markets. But now you have Wall Street looking to, you know, the Federal Reserve and all their rate increases have not slowed the economy, so they say. So that gave it a negative view for the paper market. So, I mean, it's so ridiculous. It truly is. And we did see a deceleration, though, from the 315,000 gain in August and actually tied for the lowest monthly increase since April of 2021. So it does show a slacking off in jobs. So other than that, I don't really see, you know, anything eye-opening in here. Healthcare added 60,000. Manufacturing, you know, it's funny. It keeps telling us that manufacturing is decreasing, but they contributed 22,000. So there isn't anything that makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. A drop of 25,000 in government jobs was a big contributor to the report's missing expectations. So my question is, why are government jobs being lost? They're usually the bigger employer. So,
well, is the Fed's goal zero growth? Is that their goal right now, to tame inflation, zero growth, or even below zero growth? Is that what they're shooting for?
Well, it's not so much growth. They're trying to tame the employment.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, jobs should say, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, there's reports out there that the job growth, the employment has to go to 6%. The unemployment rate has to go to 6% for it to have any impact on inflation. I think it has to go a lot higher, but we'll take their numbers, 6%. So, and they're at what, 3.5? So, and look at what's going on. Look at what's happening to the paper markets now. Look what's happening everywhere else. And that went
really
down
odd.
Instead of up.
It's really odd that it's odd that the goal is to slow the economy down. It's really odd that they want to handle a situation like this. Can you imagine what it'd be if they had real money to work with and they weren't involved in what this nation can do to turn itself around?
Well, I mean, the reason they're focusing on this is because they're saying the inflation is people are spending too much after the pandemic. The people are out there spending everything and blah, 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 blah. They're blaming everything on the pandemic. It's not the pandemic. That only had a part
no,
in it.
Isn't.
The big problem is our monetary policy. And so they're not going to explain away. They're not going to take. Yeah, they're not going to take the blame for the inflation.
No.
Oh, gee, you know, the reason that you can't feed your families or because you're, you know, blah, 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 is because, you know, we've printed too much money. We took you off. They're not going to admit that. So.
Well, if there are things happening cross country now financially, even with the, and we'll get this in a second, got an article, don't put your bicycle away yet. We know gas prices are going up, and we'll discuss it in a minute, but all this is going to add more to the pain of the people. So I don't understand how taking away the job is going to help them a whole lot.
Well, if they want us to, you're right, but their principle is by taking away and increasing, slowing the economy, people aren't going to spend as much, and therefore it will help the inflation. It's all about their inflation, to lower the inflation, to go back to their 3% or their 2%. They'll never get to 2% as their goal, but their goal, I think they did increase it to like 3. So, I mean, that's their theory. You know, to have people quit spending money directly
well,
into the economy.
And it never did work very long. Stretch of time.
Yeah,
and cutting back on oil, I mean, they can't stop the price of gas from going up now with OPEC dropping 2 million barrels a day. They can't stop that. So cutting back on people's earnings is it's just a big mess what it is. So,
I mean, they've been able to turn the economies fairly successful by their point of view over the past 30 years. Even though we never really came out of any of those recessions, they created programs in which it gave the illusion that we did. And it did, you know, help the economy with enough stimulus and so forth. Yeah, you'll help the economies grow. People will work and people will spend and, you know, the world moves on. But they're at a point this time where they're not going to – the problem is too big for them to turn the economy in any one direction for any short period of time. So it's kind of like, you know, the old, you know, when you analyze the, the big ship, you just can't turn it on a dime and then turn it back again. And so they were able to in the past. They were very successful at it. This time, I think, is a little different. And it's too big. It's too big now. And plus, you got, at one point in time, you had the world working together. The world is, if anybody's noticed lately, the world is not working together.
We're going to cover that a little bit, too, and it doesn't look well for a lot of different reasons. And even the president himself said it, we may be as close to nuclear wars were back in 1962. So we got, no, the world's not working together at all. The world is not playing well together at all.
And I'm sorry, Biden is a buffoon.
Yes.
You know, and it's amazing that people who voted for him cannot see that he's mentally handicapped. They don't believe it. They just think it's just a little, you know, an elderly snafu, or when he makes these odd statements and so forth, looking for a dead person. Oh, he's old. That's funny. That's an elderly thing. It's like, really, this is the president of the United States. What do you think the rest of the world? You think the rest of the world is looking at him as a? That was just a little slip. Are you kidding me?
It is sad, and it's embarrassing.
It isn't even embarrassing. It's scary. It's frightening. This is what our country is. The decisions how things are moving forward is based on.
When you stop, when people look at the world and say, "That is that the best they can do for a leader?" You know.
Well, I mean, their leaders aren't any much better. So, I mean, they need to look at home before they start calling out ours. But we were in a position where we were the leaders of the world. You know, people looked up to us. I don't know of anybody who ever looked up to France or anybody who ever looked up to Germany and so forth. But they looked up to the United States.
Yeah,
and now
they did.
Look at us.
They did. That's a fact. And it's sad to watch the whole thing crumble around us and on a world scale. The U.S. has just lost face in three different places. Now I see them losing face economically. The dollar's not worth anything. Worldwide, they're trying to get rid of it. So, yeah, America's pretty much finished yourself off with what the nonsense has been through.
And it's just not this administration. It's all the previous administrations for how many years. They all had a hand into it to get us to where we are today. So you can pick out all the good people. And what happens is people pick out all the good points of the presidents. Oh, well, he was a good president because of this, this, and this. Well, take a look at what he did that was bad. That list is a whole lot longer than those things that he did for good. You know, and any of their handlers, they're all chosen, and all their handlers, of course, they'll allow these presidents to do some good. I mean, that's how they keep the American people buffaloed and manipulated. Got to give them, they got to do some good to support the
facade,
the Democratic side, and got to give enough to support the Republican side to keep it divided. I might be rambling, but it's just kind of mood I'm in.
Well, as I said on the program Wednesday, 20 years ago when George W. was in office, the debt was $6 trillion. 20 years ago, $6 trillion. It's went up five times in the last 20 years to over $31 trillion. And there's been Republicans, Democrats, and vice versa back and forth all through those years. The debt didn't go down when the Republicans took over. The debt didn't go down under Trump either. The debt did not go down. It's going higher and higher and higher. So, yeah, you're right. They're all part of the same party, so to speak. But from $6 trillion to $31 trillion, Melody, and of course, I did look this up also. A dollar in the year 2020 was worth $1.75 today. So a dollar lost that much value in 20 years. So you can count for inflation a little bit, but it's still ridiculous. To see it from $6 trillion to $31 trillion. It's ridiculous. It's hard to believe we could do that. Spend that much money, but we did.
And they're not finished. I just saw...
No, by no means.
What? This really irritated me the most. Where did I see that article about Janet Yellen? And it's like, this woman is probably... I don't want to get in trouble, but I think Yellen and Biden could probably share a room somewhere, because I don't think she has all her mental faculties either. She just gave almost $1 billion I'll have to find that article. We're almost going into the next break, and I'll bring it in at the... I know where I saw it. Hold on. And this just... Yellen to announce the first $1 billion Treasury loan for multilateral clean technology fund. She announced a $950 million loan to CTF, a multilateral trust that helps developing countries accelerate their transition from fossil fuels to clean energy. What right does she have to give $950 billion loan to other countries to help them go from fossil fuels to clean energy? This is the first of its kind from the U.S. Treasury.
Well, what authority did she do that? And that's almost $1 trillion. How did she get the authority to do that?
Well, guess what? It's a promise, a pledge, just a pledge that the U.S. made at the 2021 Group of Seven summit, alongside other G7 countries. Treasury said, "We are committed to a net zero economy by 2050." Net zero by 2050, she said in a speech at the Center for Global Development, calling climate change, and we must help developing countries transition. Oh my God, they love that word, transition. And it's like, but what right do they have? It's thank you, Biden, and thank you, Yellen. It's just unbelievable.
It is, and I still don't understand how we give away almost $1 trillion. We don't have $1 trillion to give away. I mean, I understand.
I thought it said 990 billion.
No. Okay, got you.
$950 billion.
Yeah.
Million. $950 million for $1 billion.
Okay, all right, there you go.
It's but Friday. Still,
there's nothing changing hands here. There's no real money changing hands. They're given credit, debit. I don't know how that works exactly, but there's no money to change hands. They're not sending them millions of dollars of gold or silver. They're sending them a computer glitch and say, "We just give you money." There's nothing here of real value changing hands. So I'm just amazing me how this keeps working. It's got to collapse. And boy, when it does, it's going to be a worldwide hurt.
And you know what's funny is this money, okay, is going to go to South Africa, India, Indonesia, the Philippines.
Yeah.
Last year became the first recipients of the accelerating coal transition. Okay? Now, and supposedly these four countries, four of them, account for 15% of the global emissions related to coal. The dirtiest of the fossil fuels, they say. 15%. Okay. Did you see South Africans driving electric vehicles?
I hear a break.
And this is no disrespect to these nations.
They say it.
Hey, I hear the music. We're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. It's already spent. Working for a living. Working for a living. Working for a living. Living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Well, I'm glad I got that off my chest, Butch.
You feel better.
Took you 20 minutes, but you did it.
You did it. Good for you.
Just wait till we get to some of these other topics.
Oh, yeah. We got several to go through here. And I definitely want to spend some time on the continuing rhetoric of nuclear war and escalation, not only in Ukraine and Russia, but now with North and South Korea. I mean, it's just amazing what's happening worldwide. But on a local basis, this article I thought was kind of, the headline's kind of funny. Don't put your bicycle away yet. You know, gas price has been dropping in most places now, the last month and a half, 2 months, at a fairly steady pace. And Biden went over to, of course, Saudi Arabia and other places trying to talk them out of lowering the production. I guess you say they just sneezed on him, so to speak. They didn't pay attention to him because they obviously did it. And we already see gas, and of course, in California, gas prices already out of sight. I mean, they're getting even higher today because prices went up already because the price of oil went up tremendously just a day or two. But cutting 2 million barrels a day, and they said it's going to hit mostly really hard on the West Coast, but some of them in the northeastern states also. Said Zima, the lady, Rachel Zima, told Newsweek that price increase will most likely be seen in states where gas typically costs more, such as California and the Pacific Northwest. Northeastern states also see a steeper increase if a harsh winter increases in demand for heating fuel. And I do believe, according to what I've been reading in the Almanac and other places, we're in for a hard winter this winter. Other factors contribute to who will see the higher increases, such as hurricane season affecting oil supplies in Gulf of Mexico. This is not happening in a vacuum, Zena said. The direction of the travel for U.S. gas prices is up, but probably not a lot in the short term. We have a little decline over the last couple of months, but through most of the summer, and we are already starting to see the price inch up in the last couple of weeks. Emma Eisford, a senior fellow at the Stimson Center, told Newsweek that gas prices begin to climb in advance of OPEC's decision as rumors about the oil production cut begin to circulate. She said it remains to be seen if gas price will continue to climb to excessively high prices or if they will level out. I think it depends a lot on what the Biden administration does in response. Well, what's the Biden administration going to do in response? What's he going to do? Saudi Arabia doesn't care. These oil production companies don't care what Biden thinks. If they did, they wouldn't raise him in the first place. He didn't want it to happen. What's he going to do? He's helpless, folks. He can't do anything. Now, the governor of California, Newsom, is giving people a $1,000 rebate 1 month, to buy gas with. Of course, they pay most taxes, more taxes than anybody in the country, but he's going to give them $1,000 of tax money back. So they can buy some gasoline. But what can Biden do, Melody? I mean, what kind of power does he have to change the price of oil on a worldwide basis?
He has absolutely no power at all.
No, he doesn't.
You know, I think, there's always talks of sanctions, and sanctions don't work. They're so stupid.
No, that certainly backfired with Russia, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But here's another thing that maybe should concern us even more. Goya, I don't know if it's pronounced Goya or Goya, G-O-I-A, Goya Foods founder, CEO, warns a new world order using inflation to enslave humanity. the founder of the leading Hispanic food brand, said that the Western globalist elite has unleashed an evil plan on billions of people in order to exert infinite control over them. Bob Unahu, the CEO of Goya Foods, said during an interview with Fox News, Tucker Carlson, that the New World Order and cultists are using evil inflation to enslave humanity. At the core of inflation, and it's out of control, especially in food, is evil, a desire to control us, Unahu said. When I was a child, my parents said, never take candy from a stranger. And they're giving out candy, incentivizing people not to work. They're taking away our purpose, our spirit, our reason to get up every day. They're doing it without their own candy. They're taking our candy and using it to incentivize us to work. That's very inflationary. And he's right on. They're not giving us anything that belonged to us. They took it from us in the first place. This guy's right on the money. They're taking away the incentive to get out of bed in the morning. Why go to work if you don't have to make money to feed the family, Mel? I mean, that makes sense to me, does it you?
Well, yeah. I mean, they've taken away any incentives to better themselves and so forth. In fact, here's real quick on the inflation. 23 million Californians are getting inflation relief payments starting Friday today.
Yep. They're going to give them back their own money, though. That's the whole point.
But the point is, all that money is going to go right into the economy and creating even more inflation for them.
it's kind of like you get dizzy trying to keep up with it. It just goes round and round in circles. Nothing makes sense much anymore. Maybe that's part of the plan to make us all just scratch our head and wonder what's happening. But I'd say they had to go your food.
But it also shows you how dire straits.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And government and mainstream media gaslighting Americans about food industry sabotage and mysterious fires. News reports and eyewitnesses and testimonies about the fires destroying the food manufacturing plants in the countries are strong evidence that there's something sinister going on. However, the government and mainstream media are simply ignoring this. Dr. Jane Ruby told could not help but wonder, asking this on September 26th, Are they trying to replicate the fear and panic to a larger degree than what happened in 2020? When people panicked and cleaned out grocery stores for simple items like toilet paper, but didn't even understand why they were doing it. Well, maybe, but not on a much, but on a much bigger scale. Ruby touched on the shortage of food, fuel, and fertilizer, which lines up with the elite's plans for global starvation. However, she also mentioned the role of MSM in shaping the public opinion in all this. Maybe if it's contrived, it's real, but it's being forced. Ruby commented about the spontaneous combustion and conflagration happening at hundreds of food manufacturing plants. She added that by summer of 2022, the list of fires and other incidents related to the food shortages had grown to include meat packing plants in Georgia, Illinois, and other states. So she's right. All this, and we know this. These things, they must have slowed down some. I haven't heard about any lately, but not in this country. I guess they burned them all down already, but. Well, she's right. This is not an accident. They want food inflation. They want food scarcity. It has to be that way, folks. I just had another plant burned down in France, a huge one. So something's happening here. And all this cannot be coincidence. What do you think, Melody?
Well, I learned a long time there is no such thing as a coincidence. But
no, there's not.
But
Well, we're seeing it happen, and I know that even here in a good old little state like West Virginia, you go to the stores, buy a certain brand, they're out of a lot. As a matter of fact, we placed an order online the other day, and they kept texting me that they had to replace something with something else because they didn't have that in stock. At least six or eight times. The items we wanted, they didn't have, so they put something else in place of it. So there's already shortages. It's already happening. Not on all items, obviously. But on particular ones, it's at different times. Eventually, it might catch up with a lot more than we think it'll be. So I don't want to say, people, it's happening. It's happening right now. And you better prepare yourself for it. You better make sure you have something to eat, even just beans and rice. Make sure you have something that you can keep a little bit of life in the body, something to eat. Why Europe is economically doomed? A major economic crisis is coming to old continent. After Russia's invasion of Ukraine, many European leaders thought that was a wise idea to launch an all-out sanctions war against Russia. The logic behind this move was that a comprehensive sanctions assault would weaken Russia significantly, not just on the battlefield, but also politically. The name of the game here is regime change. Thus far, these aims have not come to pass. Moreover, this anti-Russia sanction barrage has blown up Europe in Europe's face. We must remember that there are structural flaws throughout economics in Europe, namely state-sponsored green energy policies that have undermined reliable energy sources such as natural gas and oil production in those countries. Europe's irrational policies have ironically left it dependent on Russian oil and gas. Now that the old continent has been cut off from Russia, energy sector, this winter is going to be especially brutal. It means that people will be without heating and living in a de facto state of deindustrialization. Combine this with the European Union's heavy-handed economic regulations and its willingness to crank up the printing press, and you have all of the conditions for a nasty stagflationary crisis that the world hasn't seen in decades. It cannot be stressed enough, we could be on the verge of witnessing an absolute reduction in living standards for millions of Europeans thanks to heavy-handed state policies in the economic realm. You read that correctly. It's the state, not private actors, which the corporate press loves to demonize, who has brought Europe to this moment of crisis. And it's right. It's the state did it. It wasn't the business people. It wasn't the locals. It wasn't the job. It wasn't the people working on jobs. The state did it to Europe. And the state's doing the same thing to in this country also. We're trying to undermine anything we have left to depend on. Melody, you can't depend on green energy and trust somebody else to provide what you need, as Europe found out already. So what did they do? They go back to using what they have on hand or trying to restart industries that have been down for years. That takes time. It's going to be a rough winter, Melody, I think, in Europe for sure. Any comments on that?
Well, I think it's going to be a rough winter everywhere.
I believe you're right.
And because there's so many things coming, and hopefully we make it through the winter and there are no issues and we, you know, get another day, another week, another month, another year. That's my hope. But, and these things, people need just to be aware of what is truly happening out there. And, do what you can.
Well, preparation has always been a wise thing. It's more, I think, more urgent now than it ever has been, Melody, in the history of this country. But even as a young boy growing up at home, my mom would can everything, prepare for winter. She would. I mean, anything she'd get her hands on, she'd put away and preserve it and put it in the basement. And so we have food in the wintertime. But it seems like that idea had been lost. You don't see many people today growing their gardens and trying to put things away. You don't see it. So I would suggest anybody that has the wherewithal to get started right away, putting something back for what's coming. Hopefully you'll need it next summer and won't even, you won't need it for the winter. But I don't know that's going to be true this year. I think it's going to be a really rough time worldwide, especially in Europe. And if Europe goes under economically, then people get hungry. It causes people to get upset. And upset people can cause a lot of things to happen, if you follow what I mean by that.
I do.
So, anyway, different topic, but this is interesting, too. Over 500,000 Australians demand right to cash payments be added to the country's constitution. Wow. Now, central banks and global institutions rushed to transition the world to digital currencies. Australian citizens have just delivered a huge grassroots rejection to the ending cash. More than 500,000 Australians have signed a petition calling for a referendum on the constitutional enshrining of the right to unlimited cash payments. In a country of 8.9 million, the massive show of support for the right to pay with cash demonstrates the growing movement against digital currencies promoted by central banks across the world and institutions like the World Economic Forum. The deadline for submission of petitions regarding proposals for seven national referendums ended on Monday. As reported by Australian Daily Courier, the right to cash payments received the most support of seven different petitions. Only petitions that receive the signature of 100,000 citizens or more can force a debate in the Parliament on the topic. Given the overwhelming support behind the right to cash petition, there may be a strong pressure to move forward with an effort to secure cash payments in the country. Unlike Greece, the UK, Scandinavia, and the Benelux countries, cash is still king in Australia. Germany and Switzerland, which have all bucked the trend towards a cashless society. In Australia, 50% of all transactions are still conducted in cash, far above the European average, approximately 30%. Germans also are against digital transactions, with just 9% saying they would use mobile payments. So, good. There's some resistance to this. That's great. cash, for whatever you have in the way of cash, you want to call it cash, is privacy. You can do business privately. You don't have to go run through some bank or some other organization. I can buy a used car off Melody in privacy. I can buy a bushel of tea, or I can buy even gun off somebody privately. That's the idea of cash. It's private. Nothing has to be okay for you to buy. You walk in with a $20 bill and you pay for whatever you want, and they take it. It's private. Melody, they won't take that all away, don't they?
They certainly do. And, you know, most economies can't run through a cashless society. I mean, we saw various countries try to do it. We saw countries try to do the crypto, and it doesn't work because you have a select group of people. And, you know, usually it's the lower income folks that do everything in cash, you know, just survival.
Yes.
And
yes.
So it makes it very difficult, and it doesn't work. So, you know, unless you, well, they can eliminate them and, you know, so forth and whatnot. But so, yes, people do, you know, try to fight back against removing cash and definitely want to keep it in the system.
I just wonder what they would do to scare people into the cage. And they've done that before, obviously. We've seen that with COVID. It scared people right into the cage and stay at home and follow all the rules. Back when the COVID hype was the biggest, I would go to town in a little town next to me called Summersville, which is Route 19, is a major north-south drag on through town. No traffic. I enjoyed it. No crowds. I really enjoyed it. I just went in and no problems. Just went to the store. Nobody in there to slow us down. Nobody in line. I thought, this is good, you know.
And everything was so much cleaner, too.
Oh, yeah, it was. That's true. That's mm-hmm. true.
But so, as soon as it gets back together, it's all dirty again.
But, you know, and I remember I'm telling Marcia when I got home, I said, it's really, I went to the store with the Southern States and other places, walked in, and nobody was in the stores. Clerk or two working, got what I wanted and left, no waiting, and I was home a little bit. Thought, I know this is awful to say this, but I'm enjoying it. I passed maybe 3 or 4 cars on 19, where you generally pass 200 or 300 by the time you get to where you're going. So that was, to me, was quite refreshing, and I'm glad. I'm not saying it was good. I'm just saying that to me, it just seemed like really odd that people got that scared, actually fell in line that quickly, and stayed at home afraid to go to work or get out in public. It shut down the economy almost overnight. What can they do to get people to take do away cash? I don't know, but I'm sure they're going to try something scare you into the cage. It's going to happen. Okay, I know it's about break time, I think, and after the break, I do want to cover some very important stories about nuclear situations.
You betcha. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And heading into this last segment of the program for the week, I think you would like to talk about, Mr. Butch, about some unpleasant stuff.
Yeah, and it is unpleasant. It's a little bit scary. If this were just a one-time conversation between people, a nation, whatever, it wouldn't be so much to pay attention to. But this is increasing in rhetoric and increasing intensity. And I wonder, are we really this close? I lived through 62. Of course, I was just a young and I had no idea what was going on. But I guess when I read it after the fact, we were really close to going to war, nuclear war. And back then, compared to what we had today, they had nothing. Today would be 10 times worse. But Biden said nuclear Armageddon risk highest since 62 crisis. President Joe Biden is declaring that the risk of nuclear Armageddon is the highest level since the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis, as Russian officials speak of using tactical nuclear weapons after suffering massive setbacks in the 8-month invasion of Ukraine. Speaking at a Democratic fundraiser, Biden said Thursday, a different night, that Russian President Vladimir Putin is a guy I know fairly well, and the Russian leader is not joking when he talks about the use of tactical nuclear weapons or biological or chemical weapons. Biden added, we have not faced a prospect of Armageddon since Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis. He suggested that the threat from Putin is real because the military, you might say, is significantly underperforming. U.S. officials for months have warned of the prospect that Russia could be used weapons of mass destruction in Ukraine as it faced strategic setbacks on the battlefield, though Biden's remarks marked the starkest warnings yet by the U.S. government about the nuclear stakes. Now, is he just blowing smoke? I don't know. I'd like to think he's just mouthing things off, but I don't know that. U.S. splashes $290 million on anti-radiation drugs after Putin ups nuclear threats. I'm hearing, and this is a fact, folks, they're advertising now, Nplate, they call it. It's a radiation drug that you can take to fight off radiation. The advertising I've seen on the radio, heard on the radio now. The U.S. government has purchased a significant supply of radiation injury drugs as the Russian president threatened to use some nuclear weapons. A $290 million procurement of the drug Nplate, Nplate, to treat acute radiation syndrome was announced by the U.S. Health Department, U.S. Health and Human Services. The government confirmed it was the first purchase of the drug manufactured by a California pharmaceutical company called Amgen. The purchase comes after Vladimir Putin renewed his threat of nuclear war. In a speech last month, he vowed to use all the means at our disposal to protect Russia and its people. This is not a bluff, he said. The U.S. government said the procurement of Nplate was not in response to his war in Ukraine. Well, I don't know whether there you go. I mean, almost $300 million spent getting a drug to fight radiation. And we're seeing what to do, warnings on buses in cities and subways about what to do if a nuclear bomb goes off. It's going to happen. I don't know, folks, but it's getting serious. This much talking is not something that makes you rest well at night as far as what could happen to the world. This is not going to be, if this goes into a nuclear war, nobody's going to win it. I mean, some may lose less, but the whole world's going to pay for it. Poland talks with U.S. about hosting nuclear weapons. Now, we covered this briefly on Wednesday. At a moment, some U.S. officials and pundits are cavalierly talking about already fighting World War III. Polish officials have announced that talks with Biden administration are underway about the possibility of hosting U.S. nuclear weapons. President Andrzej Duda indicated such nuclear sharing is NATO's largest Eastern European member, and which is just off Russia's doorstep, is now an open topic for discussion. Crucially for the question of continued nuclear saber-rattling and confrontation with Russia, if Poland ever did host U.S.-NATO nukes, it would mark a huge first for a NATO member that was once behind the Iron Curtain. Wow, and if that isn't shaking your fist in Putin's face, I don't know what is. The problem, first of all, is that we don't have nuclear weapons, President Duda told Gazeta Polska newspaper in statements published Wednesday. There's always a potential opportunity to participate in nuclear sharing. He was quick to clarify, however, that under such a nuclear sharing program, this would not be a nuclear weapon under the control of Poland. But participation in nuclear sharing does not imply having your own nuclear weapon. But the Polish newspaper followed with this. After the interview pointed out that other countries which now have nuclear weapons begin with nuclear sharing, Duda replied, "While this must be viewed in terms of the distant future, I firmly believe that Poland will strengthen its security. That must be our long-term goal." So they want to put nuclear weapons right on the border of Russia, of the nation that one time was part of Russia. Kennedy got upset they're going to put missiles on Cuba, folks, which is 90 miles off the coast of Florida, obviously. The Russians backed down. And now we're going to put nuclear weapons on the nation bordering them that was once one of their satellites? Can you tell me the difference here, people? Can you tell me why they shouldn't be upset? We about went to war over it. Why should they not be upset? If they were going to put nuclear weapons in Mexico, and who knows, maybe they already have, I don't know, or Canada, would that upset the U.S.? Mel, there's no difference here. Why can't we see the double standard?
I mean, you know, well, because, you know, they make him out to be a bit this big bully, and he might very well be. He's ex-KGB, and I mean, he's not a good person. You know, I get that. But, I mean, it's like if you're just going to but it's almost like they're looking to, you know, hey, you know, what is it? Wake up the bear or shake up the bear or whatever. And you're right. I mean, you leave people alone, you know.
I grew up in the country, and I know you know what a hornet's nest is, hanging in the bushes or a tree. You've seen them, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, as a boy, we'd take our bean shooters. If you know what that is, folks, that's a forked stick with rubber on it and with a pad on it. You shoot rocks and stuff in it. And we'd shoot holes at the hornet's nest. And those boogers could follow the direction where the rock come from if you weren't careful. And they got after it more than once. But we would taunt those hornets, shoot the nest full of holes and pick them, you know. Or if he had a yellow jacket's nest in the ground, we'd walk up to it, put a tin can over it, and hammer it real hard and then run. We weren't real bright.
But boy, you guys were those poor little things.
Oh, yeah, they poor little things.
Poor little things.
They came after it.
They're
behind
just
you
trying to make honey.
Yeah, the yellow jacks don't make honey. Neither are hornets. But anyway.
Well, whatever they're trying to make.
Yeah, but anyway, they come up behind you like a big swarm of a big ball chasing you. It's all a big ball coming right behind you, chasing you. But what I'm saying is we're sticking the stick in the hornet's nest. You make it by with it a couple times, but you invoke them, provoke them enough, you may not get out of there without getting stung a few times. That's, I think, a good way to make the whole point. Mm-hmm. Putin declares holy war on the Western Satanism, invokes Jesus. Now, take the photo it's worth, folks. This is his speech. Putin declares holy war on Western Satanism. They, the West, are moving toward open Satanism, he said in a speech broadcast to means online. Western elites are teaching sexual deviation to children who change their gender, he said. We're fighting for historical Russia to protect our children and grandchildren from this experiment to change their souls, he added. And he's right on about that, folks. He's right on the money. Putin invoked Jesus by name to bear witness to his truth and portrayed himself in Masonic terms. I believe it. I believe in the spiritual power of the Russian people, and my spirit and is his spirit. The suffering of the people is my suffering, he said. Destruction of the Western hegemony is irreversible, Putin added, as he neared the climax of his oration. Putin also blamed Anglo-Saxons, referring to the UK and U.S., for blowing up two Russian gas pipelines to Germany last week, a potential caucus belay with NATO. So I can't say he's not telling the truth about us perverting our children. He's certainly said that just right. But he said that he's going to, this is our, according to what he said, our destruction is inevitable. That's what hegemony. I mean, our strength of the world is coming to an end. And I can't say he's wrong on that either. I'm running out of time so quickly here. I'll skip through these next few headlines. Zelensky calls for NATO preemptive strikes on Russia and attempt to spark World War III. This is no joke, Mel. Zelensky said the NATO should do preemptive strikes on Russia to before they go into use their weapons of mass destruction on Ukraine. What should NATO do? Eliminate the possibility of Russia using nuclear weapons, Zelensky said in his provocative Thursday remarks. I once again appeal to the international community, as it were, before February 24th, preemptive strikes so that Russia know what will happen to them if they use it, and not the other way around. So Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov on Friday responded by saying these statements that mark are nothing but a call to start a world war. Zelensky wants us to go ahead and attack Russia. Comments on that, Melody?
Well, you know who his favorite person is.
Who's the favorite person?
Zelensky's favorite person.
And who is it?
Is Biden.
Biden and his son.
You know, I mean, they've got a history there going back. You know, he's got a history. Well, Biden has a history with Ukraine. We know Ukraine is corrupt.
Yes.
You got this comedian who comes in there thinking that he's going to save, you know. It's like, really?
It's insane. Now, Zelensky said that talks with Russia for peace is out of the question. It's not going to happen. Impossible. Zelensky signed decree ruling out Russia talks with Putin. So I'm not going to have time to read all this, but he said Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Tuesday signed a decree that ruled out any talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin, declaring they would be an impossibility.
Wow.
There you go. There you go, folks. There you go. And now China is trying to make up mind how far they're going to go to help Russia. I mean, they're actually discussing how far they can go to help Russia without going too far. This is a headline, how far will Yin go to help a desperate Putin? And North Korea flies warplanes near South Korea after missiles launches. North Korea flew 12 warplanes near its border with South Korea on Thursday, prompting the South to scramble 30 military aircraft in response, Seoul officials said. The highly unusual incident came hours after North Korea fired two ballistic missiles into the sea in a sixth round of missile tests in less than 2 weeks. Eight North Korean fighter jets and four bombers flew in formation and were believed to have conducted air-to-surface firing drills, South Korea's military said. The military said South Korea responded by scrambling 30 fighter jets and other warplanes, but it didn't engage in any clash with the North Korean aircraft. Another place heating up. So they were within dozens of kilometers from the border of South Korea. Folks, this is adding up. This is really heating up pretty quick. No doubt about it. The worldwide it is. And it's not funny to look at. This is going on. And this, Zelensky said, we're not even going to talk peace. I mean, the man wants us to do preemptive strikes. I mean, what else, Melly, can I say to make the urgency of this is getting pretty desperate, is it not?
Well, it certainly is. And, we don't know. You know, we kind of like to think that there's people in the background that are trying to calm this. And, of course, you have the media that is trying to, you know, do the headlines and so forth and whatnot and to create the things. But when you think about the people that are behind the scenes that might be talking, I have no confidence in them whatsoever. That's the problem.
Isn't it dangerous to blow your mouth off like that in front of the world?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
The insanity of that. Well, I'm going to share a little bit of good news here. After all that, folks, I just want to bring your mind back into the fact that we're still here. We still have family and loved ones we care for. we still have to live our life and try to do what's right. So through all this hectic and all this chaos, try to remember this as things go through. This is something that happened I thought was a very touching story. It's titled Car Trouble. A weird noise from their car forced Sarah Berg and her cousin, Lisa Meyer, to pull over the highway. The car had a flat tire, but neither knew how to fix it. Seeing the woman in need, Victor Greensbrook pulled over and helped them get back on the road, saying, "Someone up above put me in the right place at the right time," according to the Star Tribune. Minutes later, the women would get to return the favor. They saw Greensbrook's car on the side of the road just a couple miles later and drove over to see what was wrong. Greensbrook's wife waved them over, frankly saying he'd had a heart attack. He had no pulse and wasn't breathing. Berg, a certified nursing assistant, performed CPR while Meyer called 911. Thanks to their help, Greensbrook survived. Isn't that something?
Certainly is.
I mean, he helped him fix the flat, and then yep. He saved his life. I mean, that's pretty good. Folks, try sometimes, once in a while, back off from this picture of idiocy and look at something good around you. Look outside, maybe you look like what I do, the leaves are changing, the beautiful. Look around, thank God for creation. Do something to get your mind back centered on what's really good and what's really right. And I'll shut up now, Mel. It's time, I guess, to wrap it up.
Well, you gave me a whole second. Thank you. I agree with you. Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.